November the 9th, and the time, I guess, is the same, just 9 in the morning as well. So, and then also, again, we'll be hearing from Michael here shortly. The students are on fall break today, but he's got an incredible story about just what happened to him this past week. So, all right, children, if there's anyone left, you can go ahead and be dismissed. God bless you. The rest of everyone, why don't we open up to Hebrews chapter 11. We are in this little series of faith. Have y'all been enjoying it as we're talking about faith and being the people of faith that God's called us to be? And we started out a couple of weeks ago looking at Abraham, then Noah, and then Moses out of Hebrews 11. And we read, starting with Abraham, how by faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And we considered that to be an unusual and marvelous thing in our perspective. If you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, we encourage you to go to the podcast and hear about Abraham. We also reference Noah, where it read, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Unusual, but he did it by faith. It had never rained before. Also, we looked at Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. So we unpack that about his identification with the people of God when he could have been the heir to the throne. We mentioned how Pharaoh's daughter was an only child. She herself was childless. And had he played his cards right, he could have been the king of Egypt. But he'd rather identify with the people of God, bear the reproach, bear the stigma, because he was looking ahead to his reward. People don't normally just sign up for mistreatment. But it was by faith that he did it. And God certainly rewarded him. He became a mighty, mighty deliverer of Israel. And then last week, didn't y'all enjoy our friend Greg Akimbi, who was here from Duke University? Just a great, great time. And, I just encourage you to go to kingsparkraleigh.com and download these words. But just a great message on community, the importance of doing life together, the importance of living in the light, serving one another and being served by others, and just living in community by faith the way that God intended. So this week we're going to continue in Hebrews. We're going to go forward in this amazing chapter. And these scriptures that we're looking at in Hebrews 11, when we read things thousands of years after they happened, our propensity is to read something powerful, but yet think, oh, that's a sweet little narrative, or that's nice. I mean, it could be something completely earth-shattering, earth-breaking. I mean, that's never been done before in the arena of the earth. And we read it thousands of years later and think, oh, well, that's not nice. Although that's nice. These things really happened. They actually happened. So when we read these passages, they are truly loaded with meaning and loaded with implication. So we're going to progress here in this amazing chapter that almost seems like a fairy tale. When you read about the patriarchs and the matriarchs of old, it almost seems like these are imaginary characters who lived a long, long time ago, just like a fairy tale, you know. You know, a long, long time ago in a distant, far land, you know, once upon a time, and we love stories. These things really happened. Moses was a real man. Abraham was a real man. Noah was a real man. It says about Elijah, the man who kept it from raining for 3 years. It says he was a man with a nature just like us. He was a man. He put on his legs, put on his pants, How many of y'all know in the morning it's just good to put your legs on? But put on his pants one leg at a time. And I'm sitting here and I'm digressing because I'm thinking about a funny Saturday Night Live skit on the cowbell skit where the producer said, "I'm just like you. I put on my pants one leg at a time, but then I go on to make $1 million records." But anyway, you have to see this skit. But they were real. They were human. They were fallen. But they had faith in an unusual God. We could say they had big faith, and that's great to have big faith, but biblically, all that's required is a little bit. So we don't have to compare ourselves and say, "Oh, he's got big faith, I've got little puny faith." All it requires biblically to move the mountain is to have faith the size of what? A mustard seed, and then to speak to the mountain. So it's not measuring ourselves, it's measuring God, that he's infinite, he's all powerful, all ability is his, all authority belongs to him. And with a little bit of faith and a great big God, mighty things can happen and exploits can take place. So again, these things really happen. These are real people, just like you and I. So that the lessons we extract is to encourage us, we're of the same faith as of Abraham. We can move mountains in our generation. We can take that same measure of faith and see things change for good in our culture. We can be encouraged by their example, pray to the same God they prayed to, and see amazing results in our day. How many of y'all would sign up for some of that? Well, that is in fact the case. But we're going to park here in verse 29, a simple verse, but again, absolutely loaded in my opinion. It reads here, "By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." By faith, the people. Here we're not talking about the individual, the Abraham, the Noah, the Moses. Now we shift to the people. Now the faith of Abraham, the faith of Moses becomes the faith of the people. But by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. Again, the propensity is to think about our little Sunday school lessons where we see the children of Israel, you know, and waving to the whales, and it's kind of a little kiddie thing, you know, and ooh, there's a porpoise, mom, you know, and we just kind of the little Sunday school. This really happened. It really, and I'm trying to raise the gravity of the point to let us understand these things don't happen every day. This is a sign and a wonder. No one in their right mind would just march into an ocean or march into a sea. They would not do it. Their daddies raised them better than that. They had, you know, enough common sense and understood science enough and knew they couldn't breathe underwater. You just don't do it. How then, therefore, could they do it? By faith, they took a step. And they did the impossible. It was an unusual lifestyle that they lived. And you know we're called to live unusual lifestyles today. We don't compare ourselves to a Moses. Don't compare ourselves to an Abraham. We don't compare ourselves to a Noah, etc. We compare ourselves to what God has put before us today. It may not be the literal Red Sea, but every one of us in here, we have a Red Sea that we're called to go through, okay? So we don't have to psych ourselves out to think, well, I just feel like a nerd. I'm not of the lineage of all these mighty exploits. Whatever your metaphorical sea is before you, whatever that is before you, God's calling you through it. He's calling you through it. You say, well, that sounds nice. By faith, the faith of God, we can go through it. We can go through it. The people, it said, passed through. How? By faith. And you will too. How will you get through it? You ever heard someone talk before and they say, "Dear me, I am just really going through it." Then encourage them. Well, sweetheart, just go on through it then. Go on through. All the way through and all the way on out. So if they say, I'm going through it, say, well, by your very confession, you're going on out. You're going on out to the other end, to the other side. Great. Go right all the way out of it. Many times we find situations, and even though we're somewhat clever, we deduce, I just can't get around this. Have you ever been at a Red Sea juncture and you do the math, you do the evaluation, you do the appraisal, you make the proper estimation, and every single angle you consider, and you confer with your friends, you confer maybe with your mate, and you're thinking, there's no logical way around. The children of Israel, they had the desert on one side, they had the mountains there, they were hemmed in. There was no way around it. See, God was building a story. God knew there was no way around it. The people of Israel knew there was no way around it. The Egyptians certainly knew when they were licking their chops. Pharaoh was thinking, those idiots, where are they going? They're hemmed in. They're locked in. There's no passage. I've got them. How many of you know, even though we're like this, God loves those scenarios where only he can deliver and only he can bring us through. So at the end of the day, we'll be very quick to say, I was clueless how it was going to happen. God just said he would and he did. How did he do it? I don't know, but he did. I mean, I was hemmed in. I was on every front. It was bleak. It was dark. There was no logical passage on any side. But God did it. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They faced an impossibility, and by faith they went through. This is our inheritance as believers. You know, we're called to be overcomers, are we not? It's all through Revelation. But how many of you know, in order to become an overcomer, you have to have something to overcome? We want to be overcomers with nothing to overcome, but we're overcomers because we are overcoming something that's before us. That's what warrants the identity of being an overcomer. People like the testimony without the test. You're not going to get the money until you get the test, you know. So he's taking us through, but he knows what he's doing. And we put by, see, they didn't just glibly, like they were, like their cheese had fallen off their cracker, just skip through the Red Sea. No, oh God, by faith, I'm going to follow this white-haired man with a stick. By faith. I mean, there are people there that maybe they could swim. There were plenty that could not. And at any time, those walls of great heaped up water could decide, all right, we're done. Blam. You know, it just, how in the world did they maintain mental equilibrium and some degree of sanity? It was by faith. By sight, I'm going to freak. By faith, I will proceed. By faith. By faith. Attitude and perception is everything. So instead of the Red Sea being a barrier, in reality, the Red Sea was a gateway to their deliverance. They couldn't have been freed from the Egyptians had it not been for the barrier, had it not been for the challenge, had it not been for the impossibility, their enemies would not have drowned. So instead of, Red Sea barrier, no, it's not a barrier. That's my very gateway unto my deliverance. It's all in perception. It's all in how we view it, our attitude. As the Israelites got to Jericho, it was mightily fortified, high walls, no penetration whatsoever. Instead of seeing it as a barrier that was impenetrable, no, it's not a barrier. It's my gateway into the promised land. Hello. David, when he saw Goliath, instead of going, oh, dear me, what a monster, what a booger. No, it's not a barrier. It's a gateway unto my future inheritance and destiny as a king. Because I pass through him, that'll be the very foundation of the making of my kingship. That was when Saul recognized and noticed David. It was the taking out of Goliath. As we've said many times before, had there been no Goliath, there'd be no David. So before we curse the Goliath, we need to realize it could be this is the very foundation and springboard into the next season of my life. I have been hearing all week about this movie coming out, Gravity. Have y'all been seeing the trailers? This movie in space with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. Has anyone seen the movie yet? Well, I keep hearing about this movie, and I was imagining, you know, I just don't know how well I'm going to do just for 2 hours watching someone marooned in space. I thought, that's like watching the paint dry. But it got such good, such great acclaim, and it was, you know, really heralded as a great movie. So we went this past week, and sure enough, a full hour and a half of just, you know, watching people float, which is great. And I don't want to steal it, but I will say that redemptively, the one takeaway that I had as I was evaluating, was that worth it? You know, because we heard good reviews, but we also heard some reviews. So my one takeaway, in my opinion, was the will to live made all the difference in the world and saved the day. The will to live was a game changer. It was a game changer. The will to live versus conceding to circumstances makes every difference in the world. And it actually saved the life of the person in the movie. And I'm sorry, I'm being bad. I'm waiting for those who hadn't seen it yet. I'm just being bad here, telling you a little bit what happened. But it's 99% of the battle many times. When we just stop, victory stops. When we just stop, the testimony stops. When we just stop, the what could have been stops. The fulfilled promise stops. The breakthrough stops. The answer, the solution stops. The miracle stops. But there is a powerful outcome to those that will go through. God's encouragement is sow your faith unto the end game. There are times I'm in counseling situations, and I've been using this parable as of late, just from the context of a farmer. People wanting a certain outcome, and just for the sake of the analogy, what if a farmer wanted a harvest of cotton? But he planted corn. And so he plants corn and he goes out and he's awaiting the cotton harvest and he's looking for the cotton. But what's he gonna get? Corn. Why is he gonna get corn? Profound. Because he planted what? Corn. You know, it's funny, people will plant corn and then they'll go so far as to really pray for cotton. But they planted corn. And prayer's good. We believe in prayer. But it's like you can't sow in one way and then just say, God, this is my expectation. What are we sowing? It's the laws of sowing and harvest, sowing and reaping, as we know. The narrative takeaway out of Hebrews 11 is all these people, the common ingredient is they all lived by faith. And God was no man's debtor in any of those scenarios. God has called us to be a people of faith. We're of the lineage of Abraham. Everything in Sandra Bullock in this movie, everything in her wanted to quit, wanted to stop. Everything in the children of Israel wanted to stop. And then remember, they conveniently started remembering the leeks and the onions and the garlics. Remember that? They go, oh, to be back in Egypt. The leeks, the garlic, the onions. How many of you know you don't eat spaghetti without a little garlic or some onion? So you got to put something on that bland pasta. You know, so they're going, oh, the land of onions and garlic. Oh, mamma mia, it's a spicy meatball. I mean, it was so wonderful in their estimation. Oh, do you remember the leeks? And they're sitting there with, like, guys, do you have brain damage? I mean, you have selectively forgotten your bondage. You have selectively forgotten your slavery as you're romancing the leeks and the garlic and the onions. We do that when we come up against the Red Sea. It's always convenient to have selective memory when you hit the Red Sea. Oh, when times were better. Really? Really? You want the garlics and the leeks and the onions with the bondage? Not a good trade-off. God's never leading us backwards. The armor he's presented us, it's applied to the front. There's nothing here because he wants us proceeding in one direction, you see. He always leads us in his triumph through Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that it's not real and they're tests and they're bumps and we get nicks and we learn, we get up, we go forward. It's not a triumphalism and a glib Pollyanna denial scenario, but he always is mobilizing us forward because he knows the end game. And he's like, oh, just come all the way through. Your deliverance is on the other side. Your promotion is on the other side. Your breadth and scope of a bigger heart is on the other side. I'm using the enemy for my own purpose in your life to get you to a place I couldn't have gotten you otherwise. Convenience is not always a friend. Comfort is not always a friend. Prosperity is not always a friend because we cease in our desperation and stop crying out to God, stop needing God. But God will allow things in our lives where we depend on him and it pulls our faith out. They forgot the bondage. They forgot the slavery. It was a test. Can you say test? Good little qualifier here. The devil tempts. God tests. There's a difference. Remember in James it says, God doesn't tempt anyone. Remember that passage? But we, through our own evil desires, when we're led astray, see, our own evil desires give the enemy fodder to tempt us. God is not a tempter. He'll test us. The enemy tempts us. The enemy will tempt us in view of leading us away from God. God, however, will test us in order to draw us closer to him so that we'll lean on him more. Do we get the difference? The enemy tempts to lead us away. God tests to draw us closer. Unless we fail the test. And he'll give us another test. He's a great test giver. Without faith, we stop. God's tests are passed by faith. By faith. By faith. Not faith in our faith, but faith in an amazing, benevolent, good, kind-hearted God who's for me. Oh, if God is for me, who can be against me? I heard one man said that depression is an affront to God's sovereignty. That's loaded. I can hear people saying, how dare you? Fear is an affront to God's sovereignty. Anxiety and fretting is an affront to God's sovereignty. To the believer that's in the yoke and has allowed Christ to be supreme, God knows what he's doing. He's perfect. And he makes our way to be perfect. Perfect. Through it all, through the Red Sea, we're still under construction. Without faith, we stop. We quit. We cave. We curl up like an embryo. But then we can do the math. What's there to lose? Why not just move in faith? Hebrews says that we are not of those that shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those that what? Believe and are saved. It's interesting, the dichotomy, the appearance of it, the wisdom of Scripture. If you try to save your life, what? You lose it. But if we lose our life for his sake, somehow in the economy of God, we gain it. It's just the way of faith. He sees things we don't, so faith is moving forward with imperfect information based on his word and his promise and his call, even when we can't see it all. And he pulls us through. It's just like the father in the deep end of the pool looking up to the little child on the diving board saying, jump, daddy will catch you. That little kid's going, well, you know, I know you're my daddy and I know you've been good up till now, you know, but I, you know, I got a brain for a reason. You can just kind of see them up there just evaluating. It's like, Daddy will catch you. You know, there we are, the people of God up on the diving board, just, you know, counting the cost. I mean, and counting the cost is a good thing. We just don't want to be in the same place 5 years later counting the cost. Hello? At some point, we have to think, bless God, either Daddy can catch me or Daddy's a liar. You know, either Daddy's, either Daddy's evil. You know, he's just going to move aside, you know, like Charlie Brown, move the ball and let Charlie, you know, bust his head. You know, so counting the cost is fine for a little while. My brother-in-laws and I were snow skiing one time. And after going through the intermediate, we went up to the advanced slope, and then we thought, well, look, if we can do the advanced, let's just go on up to the expert, you know, and this is like the Black Hill. So anyway, when we got up there, it was eerie. You could barely hear anything because the altitude was so high. You know, it's like, what is that mist? Oh, it's clouds. That's what it is. You know, and we got to the edge and it was just like, what happened to the mountain? You know, oh, there it is. It's just one of these. It's just a vertical drop, you know, house of terror. Like you pay money at Disney World, you know, to allow your heart to be found up here, you know. And so the older of the two brother-in-laws, Alan and I, were standing at the top, and we were just checking it out, you know, and I was figuring I might as well just go right into my fall, you know, because it was just so steep. But his younger brother, Michael, just went ahead and jumped down. And when you're snow skiing, all you're doing is breaking speed the whole time. All you're doing by cutting back and forth is you're breaking speed. And so he just immediately just starts cutting back and forth. And then through the mist and all of that, we can't see him. And so we were up there thinking about it. You know, it had a red flag as a warning in case, you know, someone accidentally went to the wrong slope, you know. And but it was so funny because we finally did, after an eternity, just step off and just bumbled our way down the hill. But Michael said, he laughed so hard, he goes, I heard someone who had already made one or two passes said, yep, those two guys are still up there evaluating and counting the cost, you know. So counting the cost is a good thing, you know, but we don't want to count it forever. We have to finally come up with a conclusion. Either God is true and let every man be a liar, or, you know, or he's not, you know. So there's a period to count the cost. Then there's the time where we just make a decision. So at any rate, what to lose? Why not just go for it? Decide to go through by faith. There's no promise behind us. There's always a promise ahead of us. No promise back in Egypt, but there's always a promise going forward into the unknown. It's just the way of faith. No promise there, but there's plenty more promises to be had ahead. So we have to be comfortable putting confidence in things our eyes cannot see all of our Christian pilgrimage. It's just the way that God's ordained it. Psalm 23. How many of y'all are familiar with Psalm 23? It is more than mere poetry. You know, so many people love it. It's a classic text. People love it, read at weddings, and people, you know, just think it's, oh, so poetic. But I want to encourage you that it's not just merely poetic. It's theology. It's good theology. And it's practical theology. We think, oh, what lovely rhetoric. No, we hang our lives on these words. Let's look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Verse 4, even though I walk, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is not just poetic language. This is meaty theology that we can put our teeth in. Verse 4, even though I walk, I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, Again, even though I pass how? Pass where? Pass through. Can you say through? In other words, we're not going to stop in camp. We're not going to, you know, let's just call it in for the night. No, we're moving, even though I pass through. Again, the theology is you're going through. We don't focus on the mere dark shadow, but the passing through without fearing evil. Why? For you are with me. In verse 5, it says you, there's you again. You prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. We're like, the Lord's preparing a table. Yeah. Where is it? The presence of your enemies. His power sustains us in battle. Peace is not absence of war. Peace is the covering and the protection of God in His plan, in His will, even where there's friction. He sustains. Even in the midst of a bad report, all right, I heard that, that's not good, but God will sustain me nonetheless. He'll prepare a table for me. Where? Right in the presence of my enemies. This is actually a warfare chapter versus just sweet poetry. We've always liked Psalm 23. That's my favorite verse, you know. And this stuff is real. This is stuff we can live our lives on. We can bank on. So we want to take these scriptures and wage a good warfare as we're going through. As we're going through, God's provision, His protection, and promise are usually against the backdrop of shadows all around us. You have any shadows lurking in your life? That's why we need the provision, the protection, and the promise. By faith. By faith. We're going through. Say, I'm going through. Just shut your eyes right now. Whatever that mountain is before you, that Red Sea, you see it? Now just declare with your mouth, I'm going through. I'm going through. Whatever that challenge, whatever that thing is that's stacked up against you, listen to the deliverance promised to Israel in Micah 2, 13. This is in the Amplified. It reads, the breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate, and go out through it. And their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. Woo-hoo! The captain of the Lord of hosts. The breaker. I love that name. There's so many names of God. Have you ever considered that one? The breaker. In other words, He'll forge the path ahead of you. He'll do the heavy lifting. He'll break up the mountain before you. So all we have to do is follow in His train by faith. That's what Israel did coming behind Moses. Moses was the intercessor who raised his staff. Israel just had to, by faith, come in behind the miracle, you see. God will produce the miracle. God is the breaker. And it says, we'll pass through behind Him, the Lord at their head. Let's read going up just one verse before that, in verse 12 and 13. This is in the NIV. If we can get that to Micah. I surely will gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring the remnant of Israel, bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Listen to verse 13 in the Message translation. It reads, quote, then I, God, will burst all confinements and lead them out into the open. They'll follow the king. I will be out in front leading them. See, that's the good news. We don't have to have some deluded Messiah complex that it's all about us. No, it's all about Him. He's called us to follow in behind Him. Follow in behind Him. It's like there's a bully out there and your dad's like, son, just get right here. come here. And then he's looking at that bully. You come here. And he gets you and he puts you right here. And he goes, you? Yeah, you. You know, all we have to do is like kind of stick our head out, you know, and just kind of, you know, and just, and so he's doing the heavy lifting. All we have to do is have enough common sense to be right where he is. If he takes a step, we take a step. You know, we don't want to be out from his train. He'll break open the way before us, we see. Who do we think was out in front leading the Israelites through the Red Sea? Who then is going to be out in front leading you and I through our Red Sea? It was impassable in the natural. With the Israelites, there was no other way to escape Pharaoh other than the Red Sea. You can be looking at a situation, you can be thinking, there's just no way. I've already done all the computation, I've done the math, I've done the analysis, I've done all the rational reasoning. Every angle I look at it, it comes out this, it comes out this, it comes out this way. What to do? Go through it. Go through it. It was a sovereignty of God thing for them to do this. You know, interestingly, the Egyptians, who were not of faith, presumptuously followed them and were drowned. Faith saved the Israelites. It still saves us today. But here's again how God sets things up. So many times we feel like we're rebuking the enemy. We need to have a bigger view of the sovereignty of God. Some things we blame on the enemy really is the dealing of the Lord, setting up a story in our lives. It was God's idea that the Israelites camp by the sea. It was God's idea. It wasn't an accident. It was God's idea that Israel camp by the sea. He was setting up a miracle, and he's doing the same for you and me. In Exodus 14, the latter part of verse 2, the Lord said to Moses, they are to encamp, where? By the sea. God, not the enemy, God put them in a place they couldn't break free. God put them in a location where they were cornered. Why would he do that? Have you ever felt cornered? You know, God, why are you doing that? By faith, go on through that thing. Go watch me part the waters. The Lord said to Moses, they are to encamp by the sea. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. That was a fact. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Well, the Israelites will know it too. After your miracle, you come out of that thing going, dear me, only God could have done that. I was in the valley. I'm on the mountain. I don't know how I got here. I was down there. I was in the mire. I was in the muck. Somehow he put my feet on solid ground. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. Exodus 14, we'll conclude with this, verses 13 through 15. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. That's an interesting statement. The miracle hadn't even happened, but Moses is prophesying, is he not? That's a bold declaration. The enemy that you see today, you're never going to, when this thing is over, you're never going to see them again. He's either a prophet or delusional. But he knew God had spoken ahead of time what he was about to do. It was a word of knowledge right there on the spot. He began to declare this. Interesting. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you still crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Amazing. You're never going to see them again. Then he goes back to Moses, why are you still crying out to me? Move on. There's a time to pray And then there's a time to move on. Are we here? There's a time to pray, and then there's a time to move on. Prayer, as wonderful as it is no substitute for obedience. Hello? As wonderful as it, as much as we believe in it, it's great. It's no substitute for obedience. By faith, they went through on dry ground. You are passing through, I declare, through the challenges. Let's just stand up together. We just declare that as a collective people and as individuals, that we are passing through. Just shut your eyes and just meditate on that phrase, passing through, going through, not stopping short, not being cut short, not stopping shy of the breakthrough, the promise, the miracle that's necessary and needed, but going through. So again, in the eye of your faith, we see this happening concerning challenges. I declare you're going through in your business. We declare going through in our spiritual lives. We're going through in our relationships. We're going through in our finances. We're going through in any health challenges. Going through unto our calling and destiny. How will this happen? By faith. By faith. By faith. The reason I love this passage is it's not talking about Abraham anymore or Moses or Noah. No, it says the people by faith passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. The people passed through. Father, we just receive the reward of the promise of whatever it is. And to whatever degree there's a barrier or a challenge, we will not be intimidated. We will not fret. We will not fear. We declare in the face of it, God is able. God is able. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. In the name of the Lord. Amen to that. Amen. That's why the scripture and the wisdom of the scripture says, speak to that mountain. Speak to it. Tell that old booger, no, I'm coming through. I'm coming. It's counterintuitive to what you see. That's why it's an issue of faith. By faith, not by sight, but by faith, I declare, coming through. Father, I just commend these wonderful people to you. Lord, all that you want to do in every individual life, Lord, just things we see, things we're not to know, all the challenges that are represented in just doing life. Everyone has their own unique set of just challenges. Lord, I declare, passing through, following the breaker, in Jesus' name. Amen.